Kia ora. It's lovely to be here today to see you all these familiar faces and some new ones as well. So do come say hello to me later on. As you know, probably, we're talking today on enhancing your souls through loss and grief, which is a pretty vast subject, but I'm just going to touch on a little bit of that today. So I'd just like you to stand with me now for the reading of God's Word, which we should have some verses up there first. Maybe slide before that. Okay, I'll carry on. Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, that was the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And John 11, 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother, who was Lazarus, would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Thanks. We just thank you, God, for the reading of your word this morning. You can sit now. Let us just pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you care about each of us very deeply. And you feel the things that we feel. So often, Lord, we don't cast all our cares and worries upon you because we try to work it out ourselves. But Father, we ask you to forgive us from that this morning, Lord. And we just pray that you'll touch our hearts this morning in this area of loss and grief. We thank you that you can be our comfort and our refuge and our safe place. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Some of you will know my story of loss and grief. And many of you have stories of your situations and circumstances. I've had many over the years, but the greatest grief I've had is the loss of my husband, which is actually 10 years next month. And it's hard to believe that it's actually 10 years. Sometimes it seems like yesterday, and other times it seems like a long, long time. But it has actually showed me how quickly 10 years has gone, and I'm getting older. Anyway, I wrote a book, which some of you have seen. It's called Missing From Me, and it's a French term that when I first heard it, it just sort of stayed with me, and so that's why I called the book. You've got a copy there, and there's some copies at the door for you to buy. I will give one to your library too for you. They are normally $25, but today they're $20, which is a bargain. So buy one for your friends as well. I've always loved writing, and I'm still journaling, and I'm still writing notes for maybe another book, but I had a feeling years ago that I would write a book, but little did I know what it would be about, of course. I think I grew up as a child, just believing that when I accepted God into my life, that everything would kind of be like hunky-dory. And that God, you know, he has this wonderful plan for our lives. And why that's true, as we grow in our Christian walk, I think we become more accepting that not everything goes the way we want it to. And so sometimes we have to go through fairly dark, awful days, don't we? And this, we can either, you know, draw close to God or we can draw away from him. And some of us will have, I mean, our theologies might be all different in this area. Sometimes we can sort of be thinking, well, you know, God is a miraculous God. He is going to heal me. And he must do this because he said he would heal. And he healed in the Bible. So you could have those thoughts, or you could be thinking that sometimes, you know, we've got to deliver that person. We've got to be delivered of that sickness or that thing that's in our lives. And why that's also true, we get sometimes disappointed, and that can make us, you know, draw away from God as well. And I think for sure we will never always know God's plan or what his eternal purpose is. Now, we had some people when my husband was sick saying to us that we didn't have enough faith, or you probably heard that before as well, or it wasn't God's will. And, well, only God knows that, doesn't he? It's up to him, really. So, but when Jesus died on the cross, as we know, he took all our sicknesses, all our infirmities, all our disappointments, but we still live in a broken, sinful world, don't we? And whether it's we're asking God to heal us or give us a, you know, provision for another job, or for our kids to come to know Jesus, or to heal us of our disappointments, we do live in this gap between the fall and eternity. And God, he does allow things to happen in our lives. And I know, you know, it's hard to even think about that sometimes, because he is a big God and he can do anything. But we don't always know what his greater purpose is. And it is, your will be done, Lord. So now, I put some things up on the board, some areas of loss that you may have experienced. Loss of a job, a broken relationship, financial decisions, whether it be of your own doing or someone else's, a divorce maybe, children not walking with God, loss of a parent or a child, loss of a spouse, health and disabilities, bad choices, disappointment, loss of a friend, or loss of a pet, and so on. Yes, I did put loss of a pet there, because we probably got some stories about those as well, and I've got one which I'll tell you a bit later. And you'll have many more losses that you can think about, but those are just some. So when we go through loss and grief, I think it's really important that we are really aware of how we think, of our thinking. Because if we're not, that some negativity sometimes can build up, and they'll build up walls in our lives, and it can open us up to demonic activity and influences in our life. And that is really another topic for another day, but I would just really ask you to be aware when you're going through things, to be aware of how you're thinking, because we do have choices to make. I just heard this week of a guy called Tyler Stanton, who runs a church in Portland, Oregon, where Nick went last year with a group of people. He's the leader of 24/7 prayer in the States, I believe. Well, he was diagnosed with cancer last year, and he had treatment for that, and he got the all clear. Well, now he has got some more tumours in his body, and he's having very extensive treatment. Now, I believe that 90% chance of survival for him. But I was listening to the church's update, and I was just really so amazed at the way the church is really coaching their church through it all, and how, you know, encouraging people how to deal with it, really. And they had some great theology and some great pastoral advice for those people. Nobody is exempt. Doesn't matter who we are. I remember one awful part of grief for me in the early days was after Zane had died and we'd had the funeral, my family, they all went back to their lives, to their way of living, and of course they needed to, in their daily routines. But I was left by myself, and so I wanted my world to stop. Because it had, to some degree. I had to learn to live differently. Maybe this is part of your story and your losses and grief, that you just wanted everything to stop. Even though you have people that maybe can support us and be there for us, ultimately we have to actually walk through some things on our own sometimes. F.B. Meyer, I've got a little thing up there. He was a Baptist pastor and evangelist in the early 1900s, and he wrote this: "A bird with a broken wing, an animal with a broken leg, a woman with a broken heart, a man with a broken purpose in life. These seem to drop out of the main current of life into shadow. They go apart to suffer and droop. The busy rush of life goes on without them, but God draws nigh." When my husband Zane was diagnosed with motor neurone disease, which is a rare disease, which I explain a bit more in my book, it really was unbelievable. It was like, how could this be? He was fit and healthy. We were on a farm and he was always out, you know, doing stuff every day, seeing to the animals. And it was like he hardly ever saw a doctor. And after being referred to a neurologist in Wellington and being confirmed with some other doctors there as well, that was what his diagnosis was, motor neurone. And we were really told to go home and get our affairs in order. Sometimes with that disease, it's not a clear diagnosis, but for us, it really was right there and then. So Zane and I still got a really clear picture of walking out of that hospital in Wellington and just holding it together till we got to the car, and we got in the car and we hung on to each other and we just cried. Eugene Peterson, who's the author of The Message Translation, says that history is lubricated by tears. Tears can be great healing, whether we realise it or not. After Zane died, people were in and out of our house all that week leading up to the funeral. And by mid to late afternoon, I had had enough. It was like, also being the introvert that I am, I wanted some space. So I was in a bit of a daze, and I went to my bedroom and into my ensuite, and I sat on the toilet. Well, actually, not on the toilet, on the toilet seat, on top of the toilet. Just, you know, too much information, but anyway, I just wanted to get away from everybody, and I went there because in case someone opened the door to my bedroom and came in, I just wanted to be right away where no one could find me, because I wanted space to grieve on my own. As I read out earlier, Jesus took himself away to an isolated place when he was sad and wanted to grieve over his friend John the Baptist. So, you know, even Jesus did those sort of things. Pain is not orderly, it can be very messy. I remember last year when my cat died, she was 18, and it was very sad, but we needed to put her down because she had some tumours, and I cried, that was sad. But then on the Sunday morning at church, my daughter, who was sitting next to me, she said, "Mum, I think you need to go up for prayer." And so I did go up for prayer, and I was amazed at what came out of me. I cried like deep sobs from the most and deeper inside myself. And it all came out, and it was just like, it was messy, it was loud, and it was sobbing. And I thought, over a cat? What is going on here? But I realized that it's part of my life with Zane. She was around before he went, before he became sick. And she was a comfort to him during his time of sickness, lying beside him on the bed. So it can sometimes be very messy. And I also would add that sometimes it can be detrimental to us to bottle things up and not let it out. Now, we can, not everyone can cry as much as what maybe you'd like to, but I think there are ways that you can let out your grief, whether it's processing it with somebody, because if we don't, then I think it could be even more harmful to ourselves the way it might come out at some stage. I would say too that counselling is an excellent thing to do, because I've done my counselling training and it has been very worthwhile for me. But it is important to get a counsellor that you can relate to. And it doesn't always, you know, you hear people say, oh, that didn't work for me or whatever. But it might not always be the first counsellor that you go to. Make sure you get one that you relate to. And recommendations are really good for that. I went to a counsellor probably once a year for several years after Zane went, just to process the changes in my life. It was good to talk it out. And I always came away feeling really good that had been really worthwhile. So I would recommend that too if you get a bit stuck sometimes. And also a good counsellor will really help you. They won't tell you what to do necessarily, but they will help you come. They will ask the right questions to help you come to what you know is right or what's inside of you. They help it to come out of you, which is really important. Zane and I actually went to see a good friend, a counsellor, after his diagnosis, and we did a bucket list. We didn't have a lot written down on that. Zane didn't have any desires. We didn't have desires to go on a big trip anywhere or anything like that. He just wanted to spend time with his family. So that's what we did. We put some things in place to do that. We went over to Melbourne to see our son and his wife, who had moved over there after they got married, although they did end up coming back when Zane got a bit more sick. We went to Waiheke Island, which is something I'd always wanted to do, with our youngest son and his wife, and some wonderful people, our friends, gave us some money to go on a trip, which we went to Rarotonga. And Zane was using a walking stick then, but it was lovely to be able to do that too. He would often lose his balance trying to get on the motorbike or working under the truck. We were on the farm and couldn't get up again. There were things like that, but it was progressive. It was a slow progression. And when he first was diagnosed, we were told that he'd have 3 to 5 years, but they didn't know what he would be like at the end of that, and I'm glad we didn't know that. At the end, you know, later on, the respiratory area was a big deal, and he had to go on a BiPAP machine to breathe day and night. And that was one of the things we prayed about a lot. The respiratory doctor had said that he would get pneumonia or an infection of some sort, and that would be what would hit him, and it didn't. He was completely clear those 4 years in that area. So we were thankful to God for that. We do take breathing for granted, don't we? And just like that song of Cindy's, Grace to Breathe. But somebody gave Zane a word that while you have breath, you praise the Lord. And that's what he did, what we did. It's good to have people around you when you're going through loss and grief, although sometimes there are times as well you need your own space. We had people, like a home group people, friends came out every week to pray, to worship and pray. And later on, Zane was bedridden for some of that time. But that was so good. We didn't want for anything. We had a lovely church family who came out and did working bees, cleared, trimmed trees, did gardening, put straw in the gardens, brought us food. We didn't want for anything. We were very well looked after through that time. Now, we didn't, putting our affairs in order, we didn't have everything finalised by the time Zane had died. But we had, being on the farm, we had a lot to accomplish and a lot to do. And some of that wasn't finished till after he went. But we had our sons and a good friend who was a trustee were able to help us in that area. Now, you know, we know, don't we, that Jesus went through the greatest grief of all. And he cried out in Matthew to his father 3 times to please let this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will. And Jesus, being in such agony and anguish, an intense agony of spirit, he sweat drops of blood falling to the ground. We now know that this is actually called hematidrosis. It is rare, but it can happen. And the sweat glands are surrounded by tiny blood vessels, which can constrict and then dilate to the point of rupture where they exude blood. So that can happen, but it isn't very common. Jesus said, Matthew 26:38, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I was trying to imagine what that would be like. And I don't think we really can, to be flogged, to have that spiky crown of thorns pushed down on your head. I think, you know, if it was me, I'd probably pass out. You know, it would. But Jesus, it was amazing. And our pain and suffering is probably nothing to what he went through, but also our pain and suffering is very real to each of us. I used to think when Zane was sick that I don't want to hear another person's problems. But that was because I thought, well, my husband is dying. How bad could your problems be, you know? But actually, our pain and our grief are very real to every one of us, no matter what. As I read earlier in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus knew that we would have troubles in life. He did. There is a great book out called God on Mute by Pete Gregg. He's the founder of 24/7 Prayer. His wife had a brain tumour removed and she's got epilepsy. Now, she came through that operation pretty miraculously with no paralysis whatsoever. However, they have to live differently with her with this epilepsy, and she's on a lot of medication. But he shares his story through the book off and on, and also shares the grief and the pain of many people's stories. Some people were healed in his stories. Some people, but what was really good is the people's responses to the suffering they were going through. And I think sometimes the way to overcome darkness and pain sometimes is to warfare, really go for it with God and with others. But sometimes it is to submit, "Your will be done." And I think that the closer we get to God, the more we are able to discern what his will is. That's something I've really come to know over these years, that the closer I am to God, I just know in my spirit how to pray, what he is wanting. And ultimately, as we know, some things are out of our control. And sometimes God does say a very loving but firm no to something. You know, when we're praying, a bride can want a beautiful day for her wedding, of course, we all do. But there might be a farmer who's desperate for some rain and it's got to be raining on that day. Can we relate to that, Grant? So who's God going to respond to? If God were to answer yes to every single one of our prayers, it could be devastating somewhere in the world for somebody else. And also what his eternal plan might be. Now, I realise we've all probably got different theologies on some of this stuff I've been saying. We all have different beliefs. But there are five stages of grief, which are up there. We know now that not everybody goes through these stages of grief, but you might recognise some of these for yourself. Denial, as in this is not really happening. It can't be happening. Anger, maybe blaming others, blaming God, blaming the devil, perhaps even ourselves, and bargaining with God. Does this resonate with some of you? But please, God, please don't let this happen. Please don't do this. If you do this, I'll do this. So we sort of put that out there, don't we? And then there's depression. What's the point? And we shut others out and we shut God out. We isolate ourselves from other people. So just see if any of that resonates with you. God, grief cannot be rushed. Don't let anybody tell you that you need to get on with it. It's time to move on. My grief lasted long, and I still have moments, even today, when, you know, a part of me is missing, so there'll always be a hole, there'll be a gap in my life forever. But sometimes I can watch a sad movie, not knowing that someone's going to die, and I can cry and cry and cry, and it's like, I feel like I've got no control over this. But it was what I needed right then and there. There were a few months after Zane went that I needed to go to hospital for a procedure, and I was not coping at all. Things were just not going well, and I couldn't face it. So I postponed it for a few months because I could do that. And a dear friend came and got me from New Plymouth and took me back to her home there. And it was overlooking the sea. It was just lovely respite for that time. And she cared for me. And it was just what I needed right then and there. And you can probably think of some things that you needed at a certain time which helped you. There were times, and, you know, I have to admit this, there were times when I thought that I never wanted to get out of bed again. When I was sleeping, I could shut the world out and my thoughts. But I knew that I needed to make choices for my family, for my grandchildren, and I did have to go on antidepressants for an amount of time, just so that I could cope with life, because I was crying a lot. And my kids called them my happy pills. Mum, have you taken your happy pills? It's hard, isn't it? I think, you know, when we go through things, especially us as women, we're really good at taking things somewhere. Like before they even happen, or they might not even happen, but we like to process and, oh, da 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 da. And we've gone somewhere with something. But our husbands bring us back to earth, don't they? And maybe you've had some losses, some grief that's been hard to let go of. Or maybe you're still going through that right now. You know, Zane and I kept choosing God through our dark days. Zane never once said, "Why me, God?" He never complained about anything, and yet I could never go through what he went through. I mean, I guess if you have to, you have to, but I remember they gave us some books for the stages that he would go through, and we never read those. We didn't want to know. Like, today's today, and let's just get through today. They were helpful later on. But, you know, when things go wrong, we sure get into prayer then, don't we? But God wants us to remain in him, in the vine, as in John 15. He wants us to keep in that place and to keep choosing him, to keep trusting him. And that has been what I've found in enlarging my soul over these years of loss and grief. I'm much, much closer to God now than I ever was before. And I would never have wanted this, of course, but God has worked in my life through this. So I think it's how we respond to God when we're going through stuff. Some people, as we know, we just have things one after the other sometimes, don't we? And you think, when is this going to end? And I know that that's happened for some people. But it's how we choose to respond to God when we're going through loss and grief is really important if we want to have peace in our struggles. And I have to say that even though there were times when I thought I just couldn't take any more when Zane was sick, I had peace, and he certainly had peace right to the very end. And there was peace even in my grief. There was a peace in my heart and my spirit through that time. So today, you know, if you have got areas of grief and loss, maybe a long time ago, but you felt you haven't let them go, if you want some prayer, there's people here who can pray for you today. If you're going through some really dark, tough times at the moment in these areas, then, you know, do come for some prayer. And maybe you've got worries and cares that you just really struggle to give to God. We want to work it all out ourselves, don't we, if we can. But sometimes we just can't. So that might be something you want to do on your own, or maybe you want to come and have some prayer. And maybe you would just like prayer for healing today. It's tough when we go through these things. And all of us at some stage in our lives will experience loss and grief in some way. You know, whether it's through the things that I've mentioned, but we get disappointed, don't we? And disappointment is a big one, actually. But it's how we choose to move on and what we're going to do about it. And some days you just got to, when those thoughts come into your mind that are negative, we just got to, no, I'm not having it. I found that's really huge. We've just really got to say no to the enemy. Otherwise, he will be marching in there as quick as he can. So I hope this has been encouragement to you today. We all go through stuff, and I just want to really pray now. Let's just pray. Father, thank you that, as I said before, you do deeply care for us, Lord, so much, so very much. You understand what we're going through. You've been through so much suffering yourself. Father, today I pray that you'll bring things to our minds that we need to give to you, that we need to ask you to come and bring comfort to. Thank you that there's always a place of refuge, a safe place we can come and trust in you. Lord, help us to keep choosing you. Help us to keep choosing you, Father, no matter what we go through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.